thanks for joining us for another episode of Divorce Confidential. I'm Michelle Delino, divorce and family law attorney with Delino Family Law Group. We are a divorce and family law attorney in Puget Sound, and we take cases all over Washington. I've been a family law attorney for about 14 years and have probably seen everything under the sun. I'm here with my co-host, Amy Alpeza, with Winder Merility. And Amy, tell us how you are today. It's a nice day.
Good, good. Well, I think that we're in opposite states today.
So. Oh, never mind. It's a nice day in Arizona.
right. No, I'm doing really good today. We're headed into spring break and looking forward to some sunshine next week. So,
oh, that's good. Yeah. You'll be in Arizona next week. So that's good. And that's another tip to all of our Seattle viewers. When it gets cold in the Seattle, like, everything from I think like November through April gets cold. It's good for you. Even if you could just get away for a week, get away to some sun, even if you're in the middle of a case, like you can get away. The same change of scenery will do you some good. It's just good for your mental health. So follow me and Amy on that.
It is. Yeah, for sure. And I know today we're not talking about how to take care of yourself during a divorce, but that is a good pro tip from Michelle, is to always try to spend some time rejuvenating, and sunshine typically always helps. So
definitely. So today we have a great topic. We've talked about high conflict issues in divorce before, and we're going to talk about it again. But today what we're going to talk about is a little different. We're going to talk about dealing with the day-to-day in a high conflict divorce case. When you're already in the case, you're not talking about leaving a high conflict person. You're already in a divorce case and you have somebody else in your case, the other party, who is making everything difficult, who is creating a conflict with every little thing, and maybe you even have an attorney on the other side who you feel like is making everything difficult and trying to control the case. We see a lot of people like this, don't we, Amy?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, it's kind of like that buzzword narcissism, right? Like a lot of people like to throw it out there and be like, oh, you know, the other attorney is super high conflict, or, you know, my attorney's not, you know, strong enough, or, you know, so I really wanted to kind of dive in and talk about what constitutes high conflict. What are strategies to deal with when you truly are in a high conflict situation with the other party and their team? Because, I mean, wouldn't you say like most attorneys out there try to be cooperative in the sense of, hey, we just want to get a good settlement for our client. And that means working together with the opposing counsel, trying to come up with a settlement. Would you say most attorneys fit into that box?
Or— I would. I actually would. And I'll give you like kind of an example. I think what you're saying is so spot on. Here's how I approach things. And I think a lot of other attorneys are the same. And I think clients don't always realize this. First of all, clients, let's just say this. Attorneys joke about you and think that you're ridiculous if you say, I want a pit bull or I want a bulldog attorney. And a lot of people will say that, or they'll call up our intake and they'll be like, oh, I want a bulldog or a pit bull. That's ridiculous. So the pit bull or the bulldog, number one, doesn't look good in court. And people basically like pound the table and act like complete jerks for two reasons. One, because they're trying to posture for their client because of what their client wants them to do and they're getting paid for it. Or two, they have nothing to argue. They don't have anything on their side with the law. They don't have anything on their side really with anything. And so they're trying to put on a show for their clients. Every court commissioner and judge will tell you they hate those lawyers and they know what they're doing. They know they're posturing for their client, or they know they got nothing to play. And that is not what is attractive. Every time as attorneys, we go to like the CLE, which is continuing education. I like to go to the ones where the local judges and commissioners present. And the first thing they say is, courts don't like that. And we know what you're doing, but don't do that. This is what you should focus on. Focus on the facts. And they like attorneys that are cordial and amicable and try to work things out. And that doesn't mean you can't fight for your client. It means you're respectful. You don't personalize it. And you're not like raising your voice and making personal attacks about the other party. Sure. But what you said, yes, most attorneys really just want to get the best deal possible for their clients. And they don't want them to throw good money after bad by fighting about petty stuff. Sometimes the client won't let it go. And then things can become more quote unquote high conflict because of that. So you asked a great question. You said, what is high conflict? High conflict is where, sure, if there's a major conflict, that's going to be high conflict. If there's domestic violence or someone took a ton of money, those things are rightfully high conflict, but those are just legitimate conflicts. I think the term high conflict gets thrown around a lot when every little thing becomes a conflict, when every little exchange with your kids is a conflict, with every little box of personal property is a conflict, when every little thing is something to be fought about and can't be worked out, your case has become high conflict and isn't just focused on maybe the issues that are in conflict. So yeah, but I think to your point, no, I mean, I've worked with hundreds of attorneys and most attorneys just want to work things out. You might think the other attorney is high conflict, but there's really only, I mean, I've worked with almost every attorney in our area. There's really only maybe a handful, maybe five attorneys that I can think of that
Really?
that I don't like to take cases with, or we won't take cases with, because I know they're going to drive up costs for my client and they're not going to be reasonable and it's not worth it. But there's hardly, maybe even less than five, maybe there's like three, but there's only a few people that do that. The other hundreds of attorneys out there really just want to get the job done. And sometimes that means taking a position you don't agree with on the other side, but there's a professional way to do that and not make it high conflict. Does that make sense? I think it
Not
does.
really. Totally. So if when you going back to when you say every little thing has to be, there's
Yeah.
conflict around it, does that mean that the attorney has to get involved in the communication between the clients, or that then a motion has to be filed with the court, or
It can mean a lot of things like that. Like, here's an example. Good question. A high conflict situation could be, oh, we had a disagreement about where to, the holiday schedule. Like, I had just come up this week. Oh, there's a question about what the how to read the holiday schedule in your temporary parenting plan when it's Easter and the start of spring break, and people were like, I don't know whose time is what. Well, there's a way to like work that out between the parties, and then a little thing like that, if it can't be agreed upon and worked out, then one party starts sending angry messages on our family wizard to the other party. That starts the conflict instead of having a normal interaction about it. Then they might tell their attorney, and their attorney starts sending like messages threatening court if you don't drop the child off, blah, blah, blah. And then, if it can't be de-escalated, then it's become a situation that didn't need to happen, or it's a situation where, okay, we're in the middle of the case and, every little thing happens where you're hearing that, oh, child A told dad that child B and child A were at mom's house and mom was telling them things about the kid. Things just like all kinds of back and forth that like really doesn't need to happen. And then the attorney has to get involved and has to try to shut it down. And a lot of the time what they might be doing is sending a message saying, this is what my client said happened. Tell your client not to let it happen again. And that attorney's not trying to be high conflict. They're just trying to like tell the client, look, I'll pass it along. I'll tell him to stop. Then I have to tell my client, or vice versa. And we're not trying to be high conflict. We're just relaying the messages because our clients can't handle it themselves. So it's like, and you're paying us to do it. So if anything, don't do that. Like, really evaluate whether it's worth the fight and whether it's worth spending legal fees on.
Well, and what would you say is the best strategy? I mean, we talk a lot that every client going through divorce should have their own therapist, right? I mean,
Yes,
that's like
correct.
one.
Yes.
But are there other strategies that you tell clients other than, hey, I mean, obviously gather your resources, get your friends, get your family. But I often think that a lot of friends, like we have a new client right now who's, friends have been telling the client, like, oh, you got a bad deal, or you got a, a bad settlement, or I wouldn't settle on that. When in reality, you're thinking, I just got you a home run case, a home run settlement. And sometimes friends and family can be almost, they're almost antagonistic towards
Totally agree.
the
Totally
process.
agree. And they mean well. I always tell clients this too. They mean well, but every single person at some point, you most people will say, oh, well, my sister-in-law's divorce was like this, or my friend's husband went through a divorce in his first marriage and it was like this. And this sounds like I'm not getting a good deal compared to that, or they told me this or that. And they mean well, but no divorce is the same. And sometimes they add fuel to the fire. So what I recommend you do is decide what you want to share But at the same time, realize your divorce is not like theirs or their friends or their cousins or whatever. And they don't really know what's going on in your case. You really need to trust your attorney because your attorney does know, is trained to do this, and you're paying them. So don't pay them if you're just going to fight with them. Find somebody that you do trust. And I think the other thing is work on your own communication. You can't control another person being really angry and a jerk, but you can control your communication. And sometimes your communication can defuse their communication. I tell people to use the BIF method. I may have mentioned it before on here. I'm not sure. It's brief, informative, firm, and friendly. So if you use that strategy and all of your communications are brief, they're not like it doesn't do anybody any good to go off and send some lengthy, epic email in the middle of the night. Make it brief. Make it informative. Keep it only on the issue that's focused, like, oh, you told the doctor this about our son. I didn't agree with it. This is why. And that's it. Don't personalize or add editorial commentary. So it was brief. It was informative. It was firm. It was to the point, saying, this is why, and this is my decision. End of story. And it was friendly. Include, proper salutations and greetings. Hi, so and so. Thank you, please, using those kinds of things, but make it brief, informative, firm, and friendly. And that kind of communication, it's really hard for people to kind of keep going on, as opposed to the communication that's like a long rant in the middle of the night where you're personally attacking them and their mom and their new girlfriend. Like, leave all of that out of it because that just keeps going. You might want to say that. Dude, write that in a journal or tell your friend, but don't put it in the communication to the other party. Focus on the BIF method. Bill Eddy, it's Bill Eddy, is the author of a book about BIF and dealing with other high conflict people. So if anybody out there wants to check it out, I'm just giving that a plug because it's a book I tell people to read if they're going through high conflict stuff. Because you're always going to have to deal with this person if you have kids with them. Maybe you won't, and your case will be over, and that'll be it. But it's super helpful, especially when you have like 10 years to go. If you have a child that's 8, you're going to have to communicate like in one way, shape, or form. And hopefully you can keep it to writing. So,
Totally.
yeah.
So one question that came up when you were talking is, because I hear sometimes I'll hear clients say, my attorney's not getting back to me like fast enough. What is a reasonable, and the way I think about it is, first of all, as a real estate broker, I have, 15 clients usually at any given time, right? And they all have different needs. Some are, more needy than others. Some need more communication than others. And I'm sure it's the same with you with, attorneys, but you probably have a much even higher caseload. So what is a reasonable amount of time, or what is the expectation that a client should be thinking is reasonable? Like, hey, if I send my attorney an email Monday, they should get back to me by Friday, or what is.
Oh yeah, definitely. That's a great question. And yeah, you depending on who you're working with or what the situation is, your attorney could have anywhere from 20 to 60 cases. And you might have more because like you said, every case doesn't have the same needs, or some cases might not have active litigation going on, or an attorney might have 15 cases and they're all blowing up. It's hard to say, but yeah, we have a lot of cases. And what we try to do is we try to gauge the level of needs of the case and the kind of communication the client needs. Some clients need high support and high direction. Other clients need low support and low direction. Some clients need high support but low direction. There's really four quadrants people fall into. And that's kind of how we look at it with clients. So we're giving them the kind of communication and support because it's really communication and support, right? And so,
Sounds like
sometimes,
parenting.
yeah, it's totally right.
Sounds like
Yeah,
the four
exactly.
quadrants of parenting,
Yeah, it probably is. And yeah, I love that. And so, you asked about communication. Well, in our office, it's our policy to get back to everybody within 24 hours, unless it's over the weekend or unless the attorney's out of the office or the office is closed. Sometimes it might be up to 48 if someone's really busy. And in that instance, either the attorney or the paralegal will usually chime in and say, hey, so and so has some deadlines. We'll get back to you tomorrow. If it's urgent, faster. But what is I've noticed happening, and I think it's because of just the culture of constant communication now, is sometimes someone will be like, I haven't heard back from you, and it'll be noon. And I'll be like, yeah, but you emailed me at 11:30 last night. So I came in to work this morning. I had a lot of other stuff going on. I had a hearing this morning. I had a deadline at noon. And you emailed me at 11:30 last night. So you feel like you've been waiting a long time for a response, but really you've been waiting about 4 business hours. So come on, or oh, I emailed you. Sometimes people will be really angry on a Monday. This doesn't usually happen to me, but it's happened to other people where it's like it's Monday morning at like 9 a.m. and they're like, I've been waiting forever to get a response. I'm like, you emailed at 8:30 on Friday night. Like, I'm not gonna spend my weekend time getting back to you because you're upset that somebody didn't include the dog food with the exchange. I mean, like, so I
Wow.
think it is reasonable period of time. I think for attorneys is if it's not an emergency, and I know everybody thinks everything is emergency, but if it's not something that needs immediate input or action, is 24 to 48 hours. I think that's reasonable. If you're waiting more than a week, that's a problem, and maybe someone just didn't see your email or you need to follow up. But I will say too, I have worked with other attorneys at times where I tell my clients, oh, the other party is working with so and so. That person takes weeks to get back to me. They just don't get back very often. So there are some attorneys I think that are not don't see communication the same way, but I think you're totally within reason to expect an answer within 24 to 48 hours up, and that's totally reasonable. But be aware, like, just because you send something to an attorney or any professional in the morning at 9 a.m., you want a response by end of day, they might be in all day mediation and not checking their email. They might be in a hearing for 4 hours of the day and then they've got a bunch of emails to get back to. They might be in a deposition. They might be have scheduled calls all day, so they're not ignoring you if they don't get back to you the same day. We also have to be working on your case, so there might be a time when I'm drafting something, or when I'm drafting something, I'm not in my email for a couple of hours. That's just the way it is. So 24 to 48 hours, I think, is a good rule of thumb. But the number one complaint, usually, wouldn't you say too, with realtors even, is a number one complaint is I'm not hearing back from somebody, right?
Well,
So.
and it's funny because I'm like you where I mean, I really strive to get back to my clients
Me
within
too.
like a couple
Yeah.
of hours.
Me too.
And sometimes that sets me up for failure because
Yep.
then they're like, well, you're always available for me. And then now
Yeah.
all of a sudden you're not available. And
Right.
it's kind of like, so sometimes I'll just send clients like, hey, I'm in a meeting for the next like 3 hours or whatever. Like I'll get back to you. But
Yeah. It sets an expectation. I've dealt with that before too. I will say too, what I started doing, just so people know, I don't know, other attorneys do this as well. Schedule send is a big thing. I used to answer clients at all hours of the night or day and be very responsive. But to set better boundaries with people sometimes is if I'm writing an email at 10 o'clock because I want to be I'm watching TV and catching up on my email, I will schedule send that email to send out in the morning because it used to be, and this is just good for people in their regular lives too. It used to be if I'd send that email at 10 and maybe the client responds right away and they want to keep going. And I'm like, you know what? No, I need to go to bed and this is my personal time. I chose to send this email to you, but I'm going to have it sent in the morning. So think about that too with your high conflict ex. If you send them an email or an Our Family Wizard message at night, maybe schedule send it for the morning so you don't get pinged back right away and it doesn't disrupt you. That's like a good idea.
You're
Yeah.
right. That's a
Yeah.
really great tactic.
It can be a hard training to do on yourself, though, when you're used to responding right away, because it really is hard for me sometimes.
It is, but I've also gotten to the point like you where I'm like, you know, if I send this right now, it's 9:30 or 10 o'clock at night, and if I
Yep.
send this message, then they're going to think that this is an open door for
Right.
dialogue, and that's not the point. The point is that I'm sitting on the sofa, you know, following
Totally.
on, you know, emails that I may have missed during the day. I'm not telling you, hey, let's get into, you know, some type of a
Yeah,
dialogue.
don't text me when I send you this email and want to, and that happens a lot too. They'll be like, oh, I got your email, and they'll think that you're available. And I think that's the whole thing with digital communication, especially even in like high conflict situations where you can keep that pinging going back and forth, whether it's email or text message or on the phone. And people are so tied to their phones now and just always available that you've got to kind of look at what works best for you. So I think it's normal that you do that, your attorney might do that with you, your realtor might do that with you. You might need to do that with your co-parent or soon-to-be spouse, ex-spouse. Like, really think about what's reasonable as far as response times and realize that if someone emails you, they're not necessarily inviting a response at 11 o'clock at night.
Well, and those are all good tips, right? I mean, I think, you know, the point of today's podcast is what are tips to get you through like the day-to-day of the high conflict and not just with your, you know, soon to be ex, but also like, you know, when the maybe your attorney is high conflict and maybe you wanted that,
Totally.
you know, maybe you wanted a high conflict attorney, but really high conflict attorneys, that's just going to end up in higher legal fees for you.
Higher fees. Yeah, you shouldn't want somebody that's like trying to look for the most adversarial way to deal with something. So it's like I had a client, former client, reach out to me just today, hadn't talked to in a few years, that was like, "Hey, this just came up, and we're having a disagreement about the interpretation of this holiday schedule, and my ex is refusing to bring my daughter." So I look at it and I'm like, "Yeah, she's wrong. So yes, you can seek to hold her in contempt, but what I think you should do before you have to pay me a bunch of money and we have to go to court is I think you should send her a message saying this, explaining why she's wrong, telling her you don't want to have to do this, and giving her a chance to just work it out with you." And
Right.
I'll telling him to do that instead of just being like someone else might have said, "Oh yeah, let her violate, and then let's just go and file a motion and do all this stuff like on Monday."
Yeah.
And that's not like helpful. You want to work with someone that gives you opportunities to de-escalate conflict rather than like going for the jugular every time. And then fine, if she still doesn't do it, then we'll file that motion. It
Yeah.
doesn't mean we won't do it, but the only person that benefits from that level of conflict right off the bat is the person getting the fees, not you and not your co-parenting relationship. So I'd say your three top takeaways in the day-to-day from this are: one, think about using BIF in your communication. Brief, informative, firm, and friendly. Just think about that approach. Two, realize what realistic expectations on response times are from your attorney. And if you're not getting it, let them know, "Hey, I really need to hear back from you within a day or two. And I understand you have other things going on. I don't expect an immediate response, but I need to hear back within a day or two, or it stresses me out." Sometimes they might forget that. So that's the number two thing. And then the number three thing, I think, was what you really hit on earlier, Amy, that was great. You need support from your friends and family and a therapist for sure, but don't take what your friends and family say and let them add fuel to the fire in your case or stress you out. Their case is not your case. They might mean well and they might feel like they want to advocate for you, but they don't know your situation. And so when you talk to friends and they're like, "Oh, I think you got a bad deal," or, "Oh, this or that," that's not helpful at all. And just
Right.
don't engage in that because they don't really know. They might think they know, but when they go to law school and they represent thousands of clients, and they pass the bar exam, then they can give you advice.
That's awesome.
Otherwise, if you don't have somebody that's done that, be like, "Let's just have a cocktail and talk about something else.
Yeah,
Can we
right.
talk about how bad your marriage is?" Just kidding, but you know
Yeah.
what I mean?
I love
But
it. I love it.
they're not in a position to give you advice. They're probably in a position to be your friend and go out for a drink or, you know, go watch a movie or something and take your mind off of it, but don't let them add fuel to the fire. So use BIF, keep in mind reasonable response times, and don't let your friends like throw logs on the fire. It's not going to help. So anyway, I hope that helps. I think this was good for people, and hopefully you guys took something away from this.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us today, everybody. We'll
All
talk
right, take
next week.
care.